Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 348, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. With joy and gladness in my soul, I hear the call to prayer. Let us go up to God's own house and bow before him there. And what follows? Psalter 348, the first three stanzas. the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Isaiah 53. First, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Isaiah 53. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, and neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put into grief. When thou shalt make a soul an offering for sin, he shall see a seed. He shall prolong his days. and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of a soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous serve and justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Let us try to ask the Lord for his indispensable blessing. Lord, it is pleased thee by renewal on this Lord's Day to bring us safely over the unsafe roads to thy house. Then in this morning hour, then both the audible and visible gospel were administered. Then by renewal, then we commend those fathers and mothers unto thee with their blessing and with their responsibility. But their responsibility for the consistory, that is also increased. 7 more souls traveling to a never-ending eternity and trusted to their care. And it is written in thy word of watchmen upon the walls of Zion, when they did not warn of the coming judgments and of the enemy, that their blood would be required at their hands. Oh, the need for unceasing prayer, for the work of thy Holy Spirit, Lord. We have heard precious things out of thy holy word in this evening hour. And then when we come up to thy house, then we are called each time by renewal to examine our hearts very closely, whether we are excluded or included. And now, Lord, it is thy work to first exclude, to make room for that inclusion. We have heard from the prophet no comeliness that we should desire him, and no beauty. And that is the picture of natural man, that is not so troubled with their sin, and with that separation, and with that breach, who can continue to live on from week to week in their unconverted state. Ah, Lord, then we have heard out of thy word that as a fruit of the meritorial work of thy dear Son, that the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand, and that he shall see a seed. Oh, that is that chosen seed, that is hidden from us, thou hast given unto us and our children thy precious word, thy revealed will. A word is declared our deep fall, our fallen state, our desperate need. But also word is pleased thee to send thy dear Son upon this world, and that his people may be saved. Ah, we have heard. And that he was wounded for our transgressions. Ah, Lord. For burdened, for troubled souls, may it please thee to grant a blessing that by an eye of faith they may be given to behold the suffering surety who has taken the sins of all his people upon him, where he has paid the price, he has cried out, it is finished. He is risen and sitteth at thy right hand, and from thence gathereth, preserveth, and defendeth his church to the end. Ah, Lord, come then down with thy spirit, with thy power, and with thy blood, where there is no need for that blood. Ah, wilt thou begin in this evening, that thou mayst shoot arrows in the hearts of the enemies, that they may be slain upon the battlefield of free and sovereign grace. Ah, thou hast promised that thy word shall not return void unto thee, and that by the foolishness of preaching, that thou shalt save sinners. Thou hast promised to work from generation to generation. May the prayers be multiplied to that end. And do bless thy word in the church on the Sabbath day, also tomorrow evening, when the catechism classes, the instructors and the students, when they hope to gather once more, then in this season, then thou hast spared the instructors, and thou hast spared the students. Yea, then thou hast not taken one away by the cold hand of death and the whole congregation. Lord, wilt thou grant thy special blessing on the last evening, also in this week, once more an evening of house visitation, wilt thou remember the brothers, and may it be profitable. Bless thy word in the family circles. Bless thy word in our Christian school. Wilt thou remember and help all those that labor therein. Continue to grant traveling mercies. We commend thy church over the length and the breadth of the earth unto thee. The established churches, the labors are manifold, and thou hast exhorted to pray for more labors in thy vineyard, and also the need for more teachers in our Christian schools. Wilt thou continue to uphold and remember the persecuted church, and do take the veil off the Jewish nation. Remember all mission work, also our mission field. Remember thy servants. Remember the team. Remember the family who are in the future, they hope to be sent out. Lord, remember the many temporal needs. Continue to provide for our daily bread. Grant a dependent and a close life. Then remember the young father in the hospital. Ah, Lord, do continue to spread thy gracious wings over him. May the means be further blessed. Be a surprising God. Remember his dear wife, the family circle. May we be given to carry one another upon the wings of prayer. And then we commend unto thee all those that work in the medical field, in emergency, taking care of the elderly, also in our care home during the day and during the night watches. Do remember all of our elderly ones above all, their never dying soul. Oh, well, thou remember all the mourning ones. Then we commend unto thee all those that are troubled, that are overwhelmed, the crosses and the burdens. Remember those that struggle with continual weariness of the body and tiredness. Remember those that have difficulties of their mind. Do remember all the family circles. May love abound where it is not so. Well, thou grant repentance that leadeth to a reformation. And what has been separated, bring it together. Lord, grant unto our youth a future spouse with whom they may go through the time around the old truths and the old ways, and that for the coming of thy kingdom. We commend unto thee all the nations of the earth, where there are many troubles, many difficulties, where there is war, where there is flooding, where there is famine, and then in this dark and evil time, then thou yet grantest so much unto us and our children. May it then be thy goodness that leadeth to true repentance. Lord, remember our government federally. Oh, open the eyes of our prime minister, that he may be given to see. One day he shall have to give an account. Remember our province. Elections have been planned. May it please thee to show mercy. Lord, we now humbly ask thee for thy help. Each time is a new time. Oh, take then a coal off thy altar and anoint our lips and touch our tongue, that we may be given to declare the wonderful things of the Lord. The woe to the wicked and the well to the righteous go so from bench to bench, from heart to heart. And those that are lawfully hindered, when they may listen along at home, oh, do grant also thy blessing, and with an impression, oh, impress it more and more upon all our hearts, that we have absolutely nothing to plead upon. Our sins are great and manifold, but may we be given to plead upon the multitude of thy tender mercies. We ask it in the pardoning of all of our sins, for Christ's sake only. Amen. Psalter 47, the stanzas 1, 7, 8, and 9. My God, I cry to thee. Oh, why hast thou forsaken me? Afar from me, thou dost not heed, though day and night for help I plead. And what follows, Psalter 47, the stanzas 1, 7, 8, and 9. in this evening hour with the help of the Lord. We wish to ask your attention for our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day number 15, the question and answers 37, 38, and 39. Question 37, what dost thou understand by the words he suffered? Answer, that he, all the time that he lived on earth, but especially at the end of his life, sustained in body and soul the wrath of God against the sins of all mankind, that so by his passion, as the only propitiatory sacrifice, he might redeem our body and soul from everlasting damnation and obtain for us the favor of God, righteousness, and eternal life. Question 38. Why did he suffer under Pontius Pilate as judge? Answer, that he being innocent and yet condemned by a temporal judge might thereby free us from the severe judgment of God to which we were exposed. Question 39. Is there anything more in his being crucified than if he had died some other death? Answer, yes, there is. For thereby I am assured that he took on him the curse which lay upon me, for the death of the cross was accursed of God. Lord's Day 15 speaks of the deep suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ. Three thoughts. First, the suffering during his life. Secondly, the suffering under Pontius Pilate. And thirdly, the suffering on the cross. The deep suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ. The suffering during his life. The suffering under Pontius Pilate. And the suffering on the cross. Thus first, the suffering during his life. Beloved congregation, in this evening hour, we are called to consider the second step of the state of Christ's humiliation. Boys and girls, of course, the little children, those words are too big to understand. But for our children, which are a little older, can you now know and remember what we mean? Then I think in this evening, hopefully, if we now went through the church and we ask each boy and girl, was a little older at least, shall not mention a name, age, and we would ask you the five ways in which the mediator must be known, could you tell me? Could you tell me in this evening that he needs to be known? And shall it be well not only in our head, but also experienced in our heart, that the mediator needs to be known in his names, and the personal name, you know, that is Jesus, that means Savior, and the official name Christ, that means anointed. And then secondly, then he needs to be known in his natures, because Christ had two natures. He was God and he was man. And then thirdly, his offices. Boys and girls, do you know those three offices? Prophet, priest, and king. And then fourthly, in his states. In the state of his humiliation, there Christ stood as guilty judicially before his Holy Father. And in the state of his exaltation, then he was set free. And then also those benefits shall be experienced by the child of God, and those benefits, some of them, they are also mentioned in this Lord's Day. And now in this evening hour, the second step, the first was his humble birth, and now secondly, the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ. A Lord's Day 15, and that speaks of the first words of the fourth article, as suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified. The 12 articles are very short, and to that end, the instructors in this Lord's Day, they have not only dwelt upon the suffering before Pontius Pilate as judge, but they have spoken of the suffering all his life long. When the Lord has created our first parents, Adam and Eve, in paradise, then there was no suffering, no pain, no cares, no one distressed, no one overwhelmed, no one worried. Everything was perfect peace. Even in the animal kingdom, what a beautiful time that was. But our parents, they have not heeded the word of God. They have broken the covenant and transgressed the law. And they have plunged themselves and all of their posterity, not one excluded, in the greatest misery. And that is also in an outward sense. What a misery and what a suffering there is on this world. In congregation, we do not see half of it, because we are a people that is so blessed above most of the people upon the face of the earth. I read in Job 14, verse 1, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. And in Psalm 90, verse 10, that our life is strength and labor. Not to discourage you, children and young people, The Lord granteth many blessings, but let us not think. It is true, it is written in God's word, but in my life I shall be an exception, because my life shall be all joy, and you can multiply it out. 'Tis a privilege and a blessing that the future is hidden from us, because if that was known, then there would be different ones in this evening that perhaps would have no courage to continue in this life. And when at the moment we do not have so many trials, not so many difficulties, no pain, when the Lord blesses us richly, may we be given to rejoice and ask ourselves, where has all the goodness of the Lord now brought us? Because we read in Romans 2 verse 4, or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of the Lord leadeth to repentance, and to examine our hearts, how it is with that thankfulness and that gratitude. If we would visit, when you visit a big hospital, pretty well all the rooms full. Different ailments, some very sick, some dying, much pain. There's a privilege and a blessing that there has come a great increase in the medical knowledge, that there is medicine to keep the pain under control to a certain extent. But what a suffering there is. And yet, upon this world, when our suffering and pain is great, we would say unbearable, then there shall nearly always be people that are suffering greater than we. But in this evening, then we shall speak of one, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, where there were none upon the earth that has suffered more than him. It is true, there have been martyrs that have suffered and died for the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ, but they were upheld in a special way. They were given to experience that the Lord knew of him. At times, that they were given to sing the praises of the Lord. But now in this evening, the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered body and soul, he could surely say what the prophet has said in Lamentations 1 verse 12, that was Jeremiah. Is it nothing to you that pass by? And behold, and see if there is a suffering as my suffering. To that end, what dost thou understand by the words, he suffered, that he, the eternal Son of God, that has assumed our human nature, that had no original and no actual sin, and that he has suffered our suffering. That is not meritorious. This congregation, let us not think, when the Lord greatly afflicts us, sends many adversities, I must surely be a child of God. It is true. We read for the children of God in the furnace of affliction and 10 days of tribulation, but afflictions by themselves, they are not saving. We need, by the free and sovereign grace of God, to become that poor, that needy, unworthy, hell-worthy sinner, that rule may be made in our hearts for this Lord's Day, for the benefits which Christ has merited through his suffering and death, and that he, all the time that he lived on earth, thus his whole life, that was a life of suffering, and each step he has taken was for the glory of his Father, and for the salvation of his church, which he would receive from his Father upon the completion of his meritorial work. Thus he suffered all the days of his life. We have heard last time a humble birth. We could divide that suffering perhaps into 4 periods. First, his humble birth. Secondly, his humble upbringing. Thirdly, his prophetical ministry. And fourthly, the last week where his suffering has greatly intensified. Soon after his birth, there was no place for him, the land of Canaan, the promised land. Joseph and Mary has taken Jesus upon the command of the angel and have dwelt in Egypt for a certain time. For that young Jesus and the despised Nazareth, a child, a pure child with a pure heart, with no sin, then what a trial and what a suffering it was to dwell upon this world where there was so much sin. For that young Jesus, there were none that understood this true. There were a few that had received light from heaven, that were given to see something of the necessity of his meritorial work, also as suffering. But even if we think of his mother, when she has sought for him together with Joseph for 3 days, and they have found him in the midst of the doctors, listening and asking questions, then Jesus said to his mother, "Wish ye not that I must be in my Father's business?" When we suffer special things, and there are none that understand and none that believe. How that increases our suffering. When Jesus has seen all the Jewish people, was not like in our day, that on the Lord's day, that people do all worldly things. In the time of Jesus, they still kept the Sabbath strictly, but it is needful with the heart. And when Jesus was given to see that his Father's day, his Father's name, his Father's house was desecrated, all for the people of God, when it may be right, and when it may be tender, when they are given to see those things, the first place in their own life, but also in the life of their fellow man, how that sorely grieves them. I read in Psalm 119, verse 136, that the psalmist says, rivers of waters, not one tear, but rivers of waters run down my eyes because they keep not thy law. And that is for the child of God when it may be tender, a close life. Oh, alas, how it is missing. But now for that holy Jesus, in the midst of that chosen people, what it was during his prophetical ministry at the beginning and also at the end, when he has come to his Father's house, not playing a sports game, was all connected with their religion, connected with the Passover, the animals, and the piece of money they had to bring. It needed to be Jewish money. Thus it was religious, but they were desecrating in that way the house of his Holy Father, and he is driven and cast them out. Then further, when he dwelt upon this earth, he has experienced poverty. He has even said in Matthew 8, verse 20, the foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. A pulpit had to be borrowed, many times a boat. Oh, we read, what a precious text. In 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9, for ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was poor, for your sakes he has become rich, that through his poverty ye might be rich. That is the portion of the true people of God. Further, disciples that would forsake him, and one of his disciples, who was that, boys and girls? That was Judas. Are there people that have trouble with Judas that are given to ask the Lord at times, Lord, am I now a Judas? Was known to the Lord Jesus Christ that he would betray him. And then further, what his sorrowous heart was filled with. Of course, that is also for office bearers and for ministers. When people do not listen, when they do not repent, and when they do not believe. Oh, what a sorrow it is when there is the hardening of heart. But what that was for that holy and perfect Jesus, there's even written that because of their unbelief, he could do no wonders. I read in Luke 19, the verses 41 and 42, when Jesus came to Jerusalem to suffer and to die, that he is wept. If thou wouldst know even this day what belonged to thy peace, but it is hidden from thine eyes. What a deep way and what a deep suffering it was for Jesus, that he knew most perfectly that the end would be the cursed cross of Golgotha. We have stated it. The future is hidden for us. Unless it pleases the Lord to his people to reveal a little. But as people, even boys and girls, what a worry it can be when we have to write an exam. When someone needs a serious operation in the future, how we can look up against it. But for the Lord Jesus Christ, it was perfectly known, was the purpose why he has come upon this earth, the glory of his Father, the salvation of the chosen church, but before him, the cursed cross, and yet the willing Savior. When we consider the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he all the time that he lived on earth, but especially at the end of his life, sustained in body and soul the wrath of God against the sins of all mankind. When we consider the Passion Weeks and Good Friday, we think of the cursed cross, the suffering in his body was very great, but the suffering in his soul, he has stated to his disciples in Matthew 26, verse 38, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. And that was, as the instructors have stated, the wrath of God. Have you learned something of what that is, congregation? The wrath of God against sin. The Lord is angry with us. Have we learned to weep because of that wrath and of that separation? It is such a just wrath. It is an eternal wrath. It is a burning wrath. The infinite justice and perfect purity of the essence of God require that sin must be paid for by us or by another. Oh, what a rich Lord's Day for souls that labor under that wrath. Ah, that have become so busy to appease that wrath, to satisfy that justice. Because there are souls upon the earth that wrath becomes so unbearable. Thus the suffering, body and soul. Then we think of the three G's. What are those three places, boys and girls, where Christ has suffered in a special way? The first one, Gethsemane, where the Father has given his dear and beloved Son that cup of wrath, his anger against sin. That cup was so terrible and so full that Christ has even prayed that if it was possible that cup would be removed. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will. That wrath was so terrible because he carried all the sins of his people. Fathers laid them upon him. And to that end, the Father has dealt judicially with the Son, although he always remained his beloved Son. Thus that terrible cup, it was so terrible. Psalm 22 verse 6, I am a worm and no man, and that a sweat became as gray drops of blood. What a willingness and what a love for his church, that he was willing to suffer, knowingly suffer the wrath of God, Gabbatha, the place where the soldiers have scourged him. Psalm 129 verse 3, the plowers have plowed upon my back. They have placed a crown of thorns upon his head, placed the reed in his hand. He was mocked. And then he was led to be crucified. When we read against the sins of all mankind, let us only note that it is not written that it says for all mankind. And then we read that so by his passion, as the only propitiatory, that is a big word, that means to appease, make peace, and reconcile. Thus, as the only propitiatory sacrifice, only. Thus, that means, congregation, that from our side, nothing can be added. Nothing need to be added, and nothing shall be added, as the only propitiatory sacrifice he might redeem. Oh, what a precious Lord's Day for people, souls, that are exercised with that payment. And exercise with that wrath. burden sinners that cannot pay the price themselves, that have tried so hard and are given to experience a great sinner still. They do not desire another God's congregation when the Lord works. We learn to love all the attributes of the Lord, also as justice. Know that people does not desire another God, but they desire another heart. Oh, if it was possible, that could live perfectly according to the law, that could perfectly glorify that great God. But oh, now for souls, that is now the work of the Holy Spirit to make room for that suffering surety. Oh, what precious things we have read out of Isaiah 53. Oh, he has begun who hath believed our report. Do we believe the report of God's word, congregation? Do we really believe it? Then we shall become exercised with it. And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Oh, when the Lord works, then that arm of the Lord is revealed. It is an arm of power, of grace, and of love. And then we have heard of a people no form nor comeliness, but then we have heard of that suffering. Oh, the purpose. What a precious text. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Gethsemane, Gabbatha, and her last point speaks of Golgotha, that he might redeem. That word redeem, that actually means to buy back. And now there are souls that are laboring under the law, a demanding law. And that law demands perfect obedience. And when there is not obedience, then the law demands punishment. In the second place, to be redeemed from Satan. That is by that Almighty King. Our deep fall we have given ourselves. But in the moment of regeneration, then Satan must let such a soul go. And thirdly, under punishment. And the purpose, he might redeem our body and soul from everlasting damnation. The Lord punishes sin here already in the time. But when we are not converted, congregation, Christ, because he was God, he could pay that price in a short time and given it infinite value for his true church. Thus the necessity that we become busy with these matters here in the time, and that we are brought in secret places before the Lord with repentance and faith in God, in his word, but also to be led further to come to a saving knowledge of the dear Son of God do you many times think of that everlasting damnation, not to scare you, congregation, by itself, shall never change and turn a heart. But do you oftentimes think what it shall be when I am unconverted, when death comes, and when the world ceases to exist, and then to be confronted with the wrath of God, and then to appear before the Lord with all my sins, my original sin and my actual sins till my last breath. And when then this Lord's Day shall no longer be preached, then it is too late, too late. Forever. Ah, may the prayers be multiplied, that the Lord may grant a rich outpouring of His Holy Spirit upon young and old, that we become exercised with these matters, because when the Lord works, need more than emotion and feeling, does not go outside of it or just a few thoughts, but matters need to be experienced in our heart and obtain for us three things. How is it now with those three matters that we can examine ourselves? We all want to go to heaven. Although, when we have never received a heart that loves the Lord and His attributes and His service, His day and His house, my unconverted fellow travelers, do you sometimes think, what must I now do in heaven? Do not want to go to hell. Then we like to stay on the earth forever. But that is not possible, because it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. But now the Lord has a people upon the earth that are exercised with these holy matters, and that they desire those three benefits that the instructors have spoken of, which Christ has merited for His church. And then first, then we may come low, because the Lord has a people upon the earth that has become their life, and that has become the desire, the favor of God. Psalm 106 verse 4. Remember me with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people that is experienced. When the Lord works, He draws with that love. He grants new desires and new longings. But oh, because of their sin, that separation, that wrath, but ah, Lord, I need thy favor. A smile from heaven, Psalm 86 verse 17. Show me a token for good. Has that now been experienced, people? Has that now become true in our life? The favor of God. But those souls experience that they need more. Because the next benefit, oh, it is true, can be those times when the Lord comes over that it is so good that it seems that everything is covered. But the justice of God, that Christ might obtain for his people righteousness. Has that been learned? Has that been experienced? And a perfect righteousness. Oh, when the Lord works, then we become busy. The justice in that righteousness. And now to learn, because in this Lord's day, he might obtain. Thus that means for a people that have not obtained and that cannot obtain that righteousness, a sinner still, ah, they learn. Isaiah 64 verse 6, that our righteousnesses are as filthy rags and eternal life. Because that people that has exercised much with death, they believe that they have to die. Would it be more so also God's people? They can be so carnal and so earthly that they have to ask the Lord, Lord, wilt thou now grant by renewal that I may truly believe what I confess and what is written in thy word, but Christ has obtained for them eternal life. Let us first sing. Psalter 92, the stanzas 2 and 5. Ashamed, confounded, let them be who seek my ruin and disgrace. Oh, let thy angel fight for me and drive my foes before his face. And what follows, Psalter 92, the stanzas 2 and 5. and the deep suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the suffering during his life, as secondly the suffering under Pontius Pilate. Why did he suffer under Pontius Pilate as judge? That he being innocent and yet condemned by a temporal judge might thereby free us from the severe judgment of God to which we were exposed. We have heard two Lord's days ago, and in this morning, that Pontius Pilate was convinced that Jesus was innocent, and yet has given him over to be crucified. When we read in this Lord's Day, then we actually read of two different court settings. The innocent Jesus, he has been arrested by those rough hands, was bound. Three church examinations. First before Annas, then before Caiaphas, and early in the morning of the crucifixion, before the whole Sanhedrin. They could find no lawful reasons to put Jesus to death. And then also three civil courts. Early in the morning, Pontius Pilate, no guilt. He was ushered to Herod, and Herod has also declared no guilt. Brought back to Pontius Pilate, he has washed his hands. Jesus was innocent, but he was led to the cursed cross of Golgotha. Then Pontius Pilate, he was responsible, but as an instrument in the hand of his Father. And then Jesus was sent to the cross. And in those proceedings, there lies the salvation for the church. Are there troubled souls, burdened with your sin, burdened with the wrath, burdened with that missing, burdened with righteousness, burdened with condemnation, and learned more and more with all that you have experienced, a guilty sinner still, then in this Lord's Day, then that precious suffering Jesus may be proclaimed. I read in John 3 verse 14 and 15, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever looketh on him shall not perish, but be saved, and therefore souls. May in this evening, we have read it together out of Isaiah 53, we have said to court proceedings, when the Lord arrests the sinner, then let us say it so. 'Tis with those loving hands, because he draws by the cords of love. Although many a times accompanied by afflictions and trials. And then that cord that is set up in our conscience. Then we have to do with the judge. And we have to do with the law. Many times a special sin that we have committed, we're addicted to. And then we are brought before the Lord. And then it is pronounced guilty. And so from one commandment to another, then each time it is pronounced guilty, you must die. Oh, concerning the sinner, it is much greater. They have committed treason. The Spirit teaches them that they have despised the Son of God and his precious blood. Although in those court proceedings, we may say it so, the Lord has a people upon the earth that has an ongoing court case, but no settlement. Maybe there are a few souls that understand it. And in those proceedings, they experience wonderful things, tokens of his favor, answers upon prayer, smiles from heaven. But now when the Lord says to such a sinner, you must pay all your debt. And then when they appear, there's a frightful thing. Then they must die. And Moses reads the law. And the witnesses, your conscience, and Satan said it is so. We read in Romans 3 verse 19 that every mouth must be stopped and all the world become guilty before God. And then the expected pronouncement, bind such a one hand and foot and cast them into everlasting burning. But now the wonder. I read in Job 33, the verses 23 and 24, if there be an interpreter among them, a messenger, one among a thousand, to declare unto man his uprightness. And then we read that precious pronouncement, deliver him from going down into the pit, for I found a ransom. And then we read, flesh shall become as a child, shall be restored to his youth. The instructors have said, might therefore free us from the severe judgment of God to which we were exposed. What a precious gospel, congregation. How is it with us? Concerning that gospel, is it still, he hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Oh, my unconverted fellow travelers, beg the Lord for that wonderful work and where the Lord has begun those further leadings, because those souls, they need favor, but they also need righteousness and a right to eternal life than it was, as it were, in this Lord's day, that the Lord says, as I read in Isaiah 1 verse 18, come now and let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Our third thought, the suffering on the cross, we hope when the Lord grants it to come together on Friday evening to consider the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. The Lord add his blessing. Amen. Let us close. Lord, we may thank thee for another Lord's day and for a few words to speak. Tis thy work to bring it into the heart. We have heard of profound and precious things, cannot be understood, cannot be fathomed, but we need to experience them, and we need that true saving faith to believe and to embrace and to receive the benefits, O Lord. Convert what is unconverted. Remember thy people. We may commence another week. Well, to watch over us in the home, at work, on the way, at school, keep us from harm and danger. Keep us from sin and temptation. Take us under thy kind care and protection. May we be given to meditate upon what we have heard and also examine each of our hearts, how matters stand with our never-dying soul. Bring us up to thy house when in a special way we hope to pause and consider thy dear Son on the cross, and that sinners may be saved. Grant exercises to that end, our Lord. The passion season is coming to an end. May we be given to examine our hearts once more in this day. We commend unto thee the young father in the hospital with his wife and children. Wilt thou continue to remember, and all may this calling be sanctified. Wilt thou now bring us safely to our dwellings. Grant a prayer for one another. Forgive us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 427. The fifth stanza, the stone the builders had rejected and in contempt refused to own, to their dismay has been selected to be the foremost cornerstone. And what follows, Psalter 427, the fifth stanza. receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.